everyone, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. Please welcome your hosts for today's session, Dynasty Outhouse and Brian Haar.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I am Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
And I'm Chef Steve, and I also have a trading problem.
Now, clearly, you see, we have a guest with us. Chef Steve is one of the very first people that joined the very first Trade Addicts League. And he has been an awesome companion on Twitter. The fact that he actually answered me from the very beginning whenever I would talk about stuff always made me feel special. So thank you, Chef Steve. Otherwise, he's nothing. Who cares? Let's just go on.
Yeah. No need to thank me. I'm mostly just an asshole who won't trade low with you, or trade my studs for shiny pebbles.
Yeah. Yes, I've been trying to just rob Chef Steve from the very beginning. I've been trying to give him next to nothing for Lev Bell and for DeAndre Hopkins. And for some reason, he wants quality players back. I just don't understand. So, all right. But really,
yeah, that sounds like your normal strategy, so.
Hey, man, you just got to let them know where you're coming from. And where I'm coming from is, I want your players cheap.
If somebody just wakes up in the middle of the night and just hits accept, you know, he's fine with it.
There you go. Just, you know, take some too much Ambien and just hit those accept buttons. All right.
Maybe somebody had a few too many beers the night before.
All right, Brian, yeah, start kicking them back. I heard you just finished your first.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Chef Steve. Chef Steven. How long have you been playing fantasy football?
I have been playing fantasy football for about, 5 or 6 years. I can't quite recall.
All right. And how long have you been playing Dynasty?
I have been playing Dynasty for, this will be my second season. I got into it not last season, but right at the end of the season before that. I joined a Dynasty League and kind of got hooked. And now I'm in 22 leagues.
Dude.
Woo!
I hit 14, and I'm like, maybe I'll just one more before the season starts, but that's it.
You know, I said that, and then I joined, like, 7 more this season, so, I mean...
Yeah, everyone...
Like 7, I don't know.
Every once in a while, someone's like, Trade Addicts 5, and I'm just like, dude, I mean, I kind of want to keep my job a little bit. And then...
You got a new job.
Yeah, I stare at my fantasy league page, be like, should I do it? And then I just decide to read Twitter and not do work anyway.
Like, do I want a relationship?
Hey, my wife knew what she was. Actually, my wife didn't know what she was getting into. I started getting into football after we were married already, but she's come to accept.
I totally went in the stealth mode for that, and she had no idea it was coming.
It's not a pretty picture when football season.
You have how many leagues? Oh, I've only got 5.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she has no idea how many leagues I am. She sort of puts her fingers in her ears when I start talking about it. All right, so you've been playing fantasy for about 6-ish years, your second full year into Dynasty. I assume since you joined the Trade Addicts Leagues and I've seen you pull off a couple of trades, you enjoy trading. Give me a rule you go by whenever you're trying to evaluate or offer a trade.
Oh, God. I guess my rule is don't get played like I did on my first Dynasty trade.
Do you remember what it was?
Oh, man. It involved me giving up Brown for crap.
That's never good. That's never a good sign when crap is the name on the other side.
I've skillfully traded since then, and I've built my team up to be something decent in that league. And that's something to be said in a 20-man league.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, I completely forgot that was you. In Trade Addicts 1, Chef Steven changed his name to Wrecking Ball because he somehow ended up with the 101 and 102. So we just kept saying he came in like a wrecking ball. So now that is his team name.
I like it. Yeah, I changed
my avatar to the Miley Cyrus riding the wrecking ball for a while.
All right, so you are starting up some fantasy stuff. Do you want to tell everybody about it?
Well, I kind of got something in the works right now. We've got a website and a podcast that we're hoping to get kicked off by the end of the summer.
Are we going to say names out loud, or are you going to be secretive about it?
Yeah, sure. I'll you can follow our account at the Moist Dynasty FF, I believe it is. Jeez, I can't even remember my other Twitter handle. And then we've got my partners at Dougfall NFL and Moist Matt FF.
And why don't you give him yours while you're at it?
And I am at SR Stull Jr. STULLJR. Basically, it's my first initial, my middle initial, and my last name and suffix.
Clever girl.
Oh, I know. Isn't it wonderful? Yeah, I just kind of changed my name. I didn't change the handle.
All right. Well, I'm bored of talking about you. So we're going to talk about football.
Football!
Woo! Since nothing exciting actually happened, I want to talk about actual nice thing that happened in the NFL. The Bears signed Zach Miller, I guess you can't call him a former tight end, but the tight end to a one-year contract to, I'm sure, help out with health insurance and money, because you'll remember last year he got his knee torn apart, where at one point they thought they were going to lose his leg, right?
Yeah, they were thinking about amputating it, or there was talk about it at least. So, nice gesture by the Bears organization to sign him to this deal. I don't think, you know, he's not playing again, at least not in the near future. So for them to do this, not every organization probably is going to do that. But, you know, it's nice when organizations do right by their players. And this is another example of that. The Steelers did something similar with Ryan Shazier after his neck injury, converting his salary to a signing bonus so that he was paid up front. So these types of stories are the ones that we really like hearing about, kind of make y'all warm and fuzzy inside. So nice gesture by the Bears and good for Miller. Hopefully he can
honestly
get back to full health.
I'd like to say that I think Shazier has a better chance of coming back than Miller does, though. I mean, Miller was already over 30, and oh my God, that leg.
It was disgusting.
Injury. I mean, when I was watching the draft, because I was watching it by myself because I have no friends, just you internet people, I literally stood up and started clapping when he walked onto the stage for the draft to announce the pick. Like, that's like, I hate the Steelers, but it didn't even matter. Like, that's a human being who, by all accounts, should not be able to move his limbs, and he walked out onto the stage. Like, I was crying. I'll say it. It was dusty. There was tears coming.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was a good thing. No, it's just, I think that, like, that right there shows me that he's got the willpower to do it.
And that's a mean looking dude. Like, if there's a dude that can overcome things and battle his way back, he looks like he's that guy.
Yeah, as long as they don't rush him, you know, and he takes his time, I think he'll have a shot at it. But most importantly, you know, hopefully he just regains health and he's able to walk without assistance. And that's the most important thing. And then if he ends up getting the opportunity to come back out on the field, I'm sure that's a conversation that he'll have with his family and the team doctors and all that stuff. And then we'll see what happens. He's a heck of a ball player. So
absolutely. Yeah, it's like a bone chilling realization that these are actual human beings that we're watching destroy each other every week. All right, so that got into a depressing spot. So today's show, we are going to talk about some buy lows and sell highs, because that's what trading is, and that's everyone's main, you know, that's what you should do when you trade. Buy low, sell high. And, you know, clearly not everyone could buy low or sell high, otherwise no one would actually buy the high people. So we are going to, there was a large debate about this. I asked many chat rooms and it really almost fell down 50-50 how we should be doing this, whether we go down all the buys or we go down by position, both buys and sells. And by one vote amongst the Trade Addicts leagues, it was by position. So we're going to do it by position. Someone told me that I should actually like earmark and let people know at what times we talk about which position. I am way too lazy for that. So
yeah, just listen to the whole show, guys. Jeez.
I like, we ask that much that you can't listen to the hour a week that we actually talk to you guys. We do this for you. We don't do this for us. I mean, yeah, the money's nice and all, but that's not why we do it.
Money?
I know they're throwing money at you.
Money?
Yeah.
Nah,
wait a minute.
I didn't say that. What are you talking about, money?
Oh, for the love of the game, baby.
For the love of something. All right. So first we're going to talk about quarterbacks. So what quarterback are you buying low on?
I am buying low on Tyrod Taylor.
All right. So you don't – do you think he's playing this whole year, or do you think he's starting somewhere else next year?
Oh, I think he'll play this whole year, but I think he's going to start somewhere else next year. I mean, he got that starting job in Buffalo, and he's kept a starting job ever since, except for that little brief period where they embarrassed themselves.
Hey, it was a wonderful half of 5 interceptions.
Yes, it was an awesome half.
Peterman.
Poor Nathan Peterman. That's probably as a Pats fan, that was probably the best half of football ever.
Oh, I forgot you're a Patriots fan. That's the worst.
I just threw up a little bit.
Yeah, and I don't care that I'm alienating listeners.
That's also my job to do, is to make you guys throw up a little.
It did work.
Yeah. Chef and making us throw up. That's a good combination. I definitely should have seen that coming.
Yes.
All right. So clearly when we're talking about buying or selling quarterbacks, it's really going to be in Superflex, because who buys or sells quarterbacks in one quarterback leagues? So what would it take for you to want to buy? What price would you buy Tyrod Taylor at right now?
I mean, you can probably get him for a second, honestly, even in Superflex.
All right. Let's pretend we didn't have our rookie draft yet. If I'm throwing the 12 teams 207 at you, you going to trade him for that?
Would I sell him for that?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't, because I think I'd prefer to keep him, but I'm sure you could. You could get him for a 207.
All right. Brian, let's say you have Tyrod Taylor on your team. That makes more sense, because you want to buy him. I should be asking somebody else. Brian, you have Tyrod Taylor on your team, and I throw the 207 at you. Would you make that trade?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, I definitely would. And it's not because I don't like Tyrod. We spent some time on last week's show talking about him.
Yeah, so it's very validating that someone else actually thinks he's buy low, because we were talking good about him.
Yeah, we were. And I like Tyrod Taylor. Exactly what Steven said. You know, he had that job in Buffalo. He actually performed pretty well from a fantasy perspective. You know, from an NFL quarterback perspective, that's questionable, different. I guess. Yeah,
he did as well as he could in Buffalo.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, I think in the you know, the thing for me with the 207 in Superflex, that is more like an early second, obviously, because of the quarterbacks in this class. There's at least 5 that are going before that mark. So you're talking about getting, you know, top 12. Top 14 player there with that pick. Yeah. So I'm, you know, this year, given the way that the rookie drafts seem to shake out, I would probably sell Tyrod for the 207, but I would probably buy him for a little bit later second, 209, 210, something like that for sure. Especially in a super flex league. So, you know, I think that's a pretty good mark right there in the 207, 208, 209 range.
So that's like a get it done price.
Yep.
You think you throw that, you'll get that snap accept, you think?
I think that's a, you know, in regardless of which side you're on, if you're trying to buy him, I think if you send that, I think that's a good price to pay for him. And I think that it'll probably get accepted. So.
All right, cool. Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm going to throw my buy low out. And you have to remember, buy low is always relative. It's not like every guy we list here you're going to get for the 207. Because my... Dude.
Excuse me. Sorry.
There you go. My buy low is Marcus Mariota. You cannot buy him for a second round draft pick. But you can probably buy him for... Do you think it'd take multiple firsts right now?
No.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably get him for an early first. And I think he is going to destroy that valuation this year. I think he is going to finally work in an offense that will be based for a modern style of playing, not even for him, for something this century, unlike what Malarkey was malarkeying. And I think he is going to do awesome, and he now has awesome weapons because Corey Davis will hopefully actually be healthy this year. And I think they're going to start transitioning to Janu, and he is very good. And DeMarco Murray's gone. And You know, Rishard Matthews, I'll pay him some respect because he's always very good, even though he doesn't get the respect he deserves. But I think that now that they're actually going to be in a somewhat up-tempo offense and actually playing modern-day football, I think he's going to have a great year and it'll catapult him. I mean, you know, the dream is to be up to that Russell Wilson level of young mobile quarterbacks. I don't know if that's realistic, but if it drops him to, well, drops him, if it pumps him up to the top of that second tier, I would not be surprised. So I say buy him now for an early first because he might be worth two early firsts by the end of the year. Tell me you agree with me.
So,
Anybody?
I know. So here's the deal. It's well established that you may or may not be in love with Marcus Mariota. I'm not really sure what that relationship. Yeah,
And
I'm not
not be
really.
confirmed.
I'm not really sure what that relationship is like. But so here's the deal. I don't like Mariota as much as most.
So you don't like a mobile quarterback with high level efficiency in the red zone. Okay, I get it.
I
All right, go.
don't like a mobile quarterback that is thin framed and fragile. No. Russell Wilson is not a similar player. I don't think that's a good
Oh
comp
no, that was not a
whatsoever.
comp at all. That
Because,
was a value comp. That was not
yeah,
what
okay. So, and that's fair. And that's fair. But I just think, I mean, the running quarterbacks are successful in the National Football League aren't built like Mariota. They're built like Wilson. They're built like Cam Newton. They're built like Cordell Stewart used to be built.
Steelers, man.
Pittsburgh Steeler, man. Okay. Mariota's like not that. I don't know. He when I look at him on the football field, he looks like a skinny high school kid to me. He's a good player, unbelievably well. I think he has good vision. He's exciting. He can make plays with his legs, but he's going to be one of these guys that you have to teach to get his butt on the ground when he uses his legs because he cannot take those hits in the long term. And that's my opinion. Will he get to that top tier of the second level or top of the second tier? I think he definitely can. And especially, you know, like you said, the Malarkey offense, I mean, it's not exactly fantasy friendly unless you're trying the like 3 yards in a cloud of dust stuff. So,
Hey, Jeff Fisher 2.0.
yeah. So, but, you know, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I want to see the offense. I'm excited to see the offense. Like you said, Corey Davis, I think he's going to be a stud if he can stay healthy. You know, they brought in Deion Lewis to complement Henry, you know, so that running game is going to look a lot different, I think, than it did in the past. You know, and I mean, and yes, they do have Janu, which I'm excited about him as well. They still have Delanie Walker, too. I mean, he's been a top five tight end here for a number of years, pretty much his whole tenure in Tennessee. So they do have offensive weapons. Hopefully the new offensive scheme will fit these guys better, including Mariota.
Brian, why don't you tell us about your buy low quarterback?
Yeah, so my buy low quarterback is Andrew freaking Luck. I am buying Andrew Luck. I kind of mentioned it last week. We talked about the arm, the shoulder a little bit. And I'm doubling down. I believe Andrew Luck will start week one for the Indianapolis Colts. And if he's on the field, I want him on my fantasy team. I know that there are concerns about the throwing motion, and different things like that. How healthy is he? Is the offensive line improved? Those are all valid questions. But I just think, I just believe that he's going to be on the field week one. And I think that he's built to be the quarterback that everybody's always thought he can be, shoulder injury or not. I think if he's not able to play the way that he wants to play, he wouldn't come back. I really believe that. So I'm excited about Andrew Luck. I'm buying him everywhere I can. People are not as down on him as they say they are, though, because you can't get him discounted in a lot of places. Startup drafts are the place where you can get him discounted.
True.
But once people own him, they're not giving him up for cheap prices. So, but if you do have an opportunity, if you find that owner in your leagues, and especially in Superflex leagues, you know, where you can get him at even a slight discount, I would personally, I'm buying him up for the those prices all day, every day here in the off season. I think this will be the cheapest price you will ever be able to pay for Andrew Luck once he gets back on the football field.
And let's remind people, even though they should have listened last week where they'd find out the price you want to pay for Luck, but you should tell them again, what do you think you should be floating out for Andrew Luck right now?
I sold Andrew Luck prior to last season for 3 first round picks. I wouldn't pay that today, but I'd pay 2. And they would have to be decent picks too, not too late firsts. I mean, if I had Luck and I was selling him, I would want 2 early to mid firsts.
All right, so Steven, if I were to tell you that you should go buy Andrew Luck low, what would you want to pay for him?
Well, I mean, two first picks never sounds low, but I think that's pretty reasonable considering he was going for 3 first rounders.
Well, it's like we said, everything's relative. They're relative to what they usually cost.
Yep. Exactly.
Yep. So if you owned Andrew Luck and I sent you the 102, would you just sort of scoff and reject, saying that he should be worth multiple firsts?
Probably in Superflex, yeah. I'm trying to buy as many quarterbacks as I can anyway.
Yeah, and to follow up on that, so first of all, Steven, you're correct. That's just so you know, I'm this is awesome. You're welcome back anytime as long as you're agreeing with me.
As long as you agree with Brian.
Yes. So but no, I'm in a couple things there. First of all, you're exactly right, Outhouse, when you're saying that it's all relative, right? So it's relative. You know, what we're talking about here in terms of buying low is not buying low in general. It's buying low relative to what this guy would typically cost in these leagues. Okay. So that's a great point to make and one that our listeners need to hear. It's all relative. As far as the 102 goes, you know that I'm really high on a couple of these quarterbacks that came out this year.
Yeah, this
Josh
is a
Rosen.
Tough year for this one because there's some shiny new quarterbacks that, you know, maybe last year the 102 wouldn't have been as shiny.
Right. But here's the thing I would say about that. And I know that this is a little bit contradictory too because of my Saquon Barkley love, but they haven't played it down yet. The quarterbacks haven't played it down yet. Okay. If they ever reach a level, I mean, what are realistically, what are the chances that any of these guys reach the level that Andrew Luck was before he was injured? It's slim. I mean, we're talking greatest quarterback of generation type stuff, right? I mean, Luck, before he was hurt, he's
prospect of a generation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He's 43 to 4,500 and 35 every single year until he gets hurt.
Well,
right. Mm-hmm. And now the picks were problematic early.
They weren't his fault.
They weren't. He didn't have weapons. He had 8 guys hanging off of him half the time. The offensive line has been terrible since he got there. So you know, you're taking a risk. Yes, there is absolutely risk on the Andrew Luck side because realistically, he hasn't thrown a football in 500 and some odd days, you said last week, I think. You know, there's obviously risk on that side.
But he's throwing people around.
Yeah, he looks like he could throw
an elephant around. I mean, have you seen the guy? We talked
worried about him throwing footballs.
Jeez, oh man.
All right, realistically.
if we're talking the 102 in super flex leagues, and we're probably, you know, the way that the NFL draft shook out with Darius Geis falling and you know, everybody that had the 102 was like, yeah, it's Geis. And then he fell. And then you heard the stories about the meetings with Philly and all that stuff. And now all of a sudden the 102 in Superflex is like, holy crap, what am I going to do with this pick? Anybody want the 102, right? Everybody was trying to trade out of that pick. It was very reasonable to select a quarterback with the second overall pick in Superflex leagues in rookie drafts. Okay, so if we're going to do that or going to consider it, we're talking about Rosen and we're talking about Mayfield, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are the top two almost for everybody. Jackson, some people think he's the top fantasy option as far as quarterbacks goes, and that's fine. I don't personally, but But so you're talking those types of guys. If I'm trading Andrew Luck, I've got to have something else on top of that to move him. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm saying two firsts. And if one was the 102, then maybe I do the 102 and the 108 or something like that. But I'm not selling him for the 110 and the 112.
Yeah. I might even need another quarterback on top of it.
There you go.
All right. That's, I don't know. The more we talk, the less low it gets. So we're just going to move on. All right. So let's go to our quarterback sell highs. Steven, you have Aaron Rodgers listed. Why are you selling Aaron Rodgers high, even though he's the best ever to ever? Because it's not Tom Brady.
It's because he's worth so much. And, I mean, he's 34. He's got some years left in him, but he's starting to get towards the end. And he's just worth so much. You don't want to lose that opportunity to sell him high. I mean, you probably got a couple years left on that. But
so your patriotism is full Belichickian, and you're selling a year early before it's too late.
I am.
All right, so let's play this game again. You have Aaron Rodgers, and I offer you, what did you just say before for Andrew Luck, the 102 and the 108. Are you selling Aaron Rodgers for that?
No.
Are you selling Aaron Rodgers for the 102, the 108, and a 19 first?
Throw in Andrew Luck.
I would probably consider that. I don't know if I could do it, but I would consider that.
All right,
it's hard pulling a trigger on something like that.
All right, so we'll say a mid-level quarterback and two firsts. So like Jameis Winston, because we want young guys, right? So Jameis Winston and the 108. And
if you got a rebuild, I'd totally pull the trigger on something like that.
I would too.
All right, so, but yeah, that's in general what we were just blabbling about is to get a quarterback, you usually have to send a quarterback, even though I think we're going to talk about a trade later where I sent a quarterback and did not get one back. All right.
I mean, if you got like seven quarterbacks, sometimes it's okay.
All right.
It's like this, the other guy's got no quarterbacks. You'd be like, yeah, I guess I can give one up.
Yeah, that's kind of what I did. All right, so my sell high is Kirk Cousins, and that is because Minnesota's really good right now, and their defense is phenomenal. Is he going to pass as much as he did in Washington? I find that doubtful, and I think it's foolish to think, oh, just because he's going to throw less, he's going to throw more efficiently. I don't really think that's how it works. I don't think it magically just happens that way. It's nice to think it will, but I don't, you know, there's nothing to really count on. I don't think Cousins is bad. Clearly, I own him in a couple of leagues, but I just think that people have him slated to be a quarterback, a top five quarterback, like they're four through six-ish, and I think that's his ceiling. I don't see him being a quarterback two or three. So if you have people valuing Kirk Cousins as a quarterback five, I would sell him to that guy in a heartbeat. Because that's what, if I owned Kirk Cousins in Superflex, which I do, and someone sent me, again, what, Jameis Winston in the first round pick, I would snap accept that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys feel about Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, I would snap accept that deal as well. When you first started talking there, you were making a lot of sense with Cousins as far as the efficiency and all of that. I will say,
so he's should got we just better. End the podcast now because that was making sense and it's probably not going to get better from there?
Possibly, yes. So here's the deal. He definitely has better weapons than he's ever had before. I mean, there's no question about it. Dalvin Cook, Diggs, Thielen, Rudolph. You know, Jordan Reed was good like 1 year with him, you know, when he wasn't injured for the whole field. Right. Exactly. You know, so he has better weapons than he's ever had ever in his career. Having said that, you know, I think you made good points about the defense. That defense is good. I don't think Minnesota is going to ask as much of Cousins as Washington did.
Yep.
Okay. However, I mean, you're talking about him in the 4-6 range. He was the quarterback six the last 2 years.
Right. Based on, to me, it was based on volume more than anything else.
It probably was. You're right. And I think if people are valuing him in the 3-4 range, then he's probably a sell high. So that makes sense.
Yeah, this one is definitely person-based on whoever is offering you a trade, because Kirk Cousins is one of those, I mean, to say polarizing is probably the wrong word, because it's hard to hate Kirk Cousins, except people call him a douche face, because his face is one of those, just see your face and I want to punch it.
Oh, come on, man. Hey, be real right now. When you look at his face, you like that.
Yeah, how douchey was that? I mean, I can
hate millions of the. He signed $28 million in his, like, he didn't even have to work for it. He already has it. $28 million for 3 years because of that phrase.
And that
or at least some of it's because of that phrase.
And that makes me hate him all the more.
I mean, at least he doesn't have that Andrew Luck beard.
Hey, don't diss on neck beards, man. I rocked one for a few years.
That thing is so scruffy.
All right, we are derailing. All right, Brian, yes. We're talking about quarterbacks for way too long. All right, Deshaun Watson, sell him high.
Yeah, so Watson is my sell high. And it's just because of how unbelievable he was in the games that he played last year. In the 7 games before the injury to the knee, he was unbelievable. I just can't imagine that he is able to come back and then sustain that pace over the course of a full season. If he does it, I'm an idiot for selling him.
If
because
he does it,
he
then
will
he is
be one of the best quarterbacks in
ever.
The league. And ever, yes, if he's able to do that for a full season. So that's why I'm selling him high. I love Watson, and if I can get him for a fair price in any leagues, I would buy him up. I love him. That's the question, and we've been talking about that with each of these quarterbacks. I don't know. If I owned the guy, I probably wouldn't sell for 2 firsts.
I think it would have to be 3.
I'd probably need something more. Yeah, either 3 firsts or 2 firsts and a quarterback, 2 firsts and an impact player.
7 games of production?
Yeah.
But they were very good 7 games.
I mean, he was on pace for like 88 touchdowns or something like that. I mean, not really. But, I mean, it seemed like
the guy was stats going.
Gosh, I mean, it was ridiculous. And here's the deal. I mean, you're exactly right, Steven. It's hard off of such little – I mean, less than a half a season of that production. Having said that, look at the guys that we're talking about week after week. Saquon Barkley hasn't played a game in the National Football League. Dalvin Cook has played 4 games. Watson has played 7 games. And these guys are top 15 players in Superflex leagues, all 3 of them. And the sample size is so small. So you have a point for sure, and that's a valid question. You know, how can you do off of so few games of seeing it or no games in the case of your knees? But the reality is these guys are worth what they're worth in the community. No matter whether they played 4 games or 0 games or 7 games. If they're being drafted in the middle of the second round or at the end of the first round or with the 101, we've seen that in stud picks in startup drafts too. Barkley going with the 1-1, he hasn't played it down. I mean, so the guys have that value regardless of how many games. So your point is valid. I think that's a valid point, and I think to really know, we're going to have to see what these guys are able to do on the football field. But realistically, right now, their value, they're all top 15 players in Superflex. So that's kind of one. But I don't know that Watson will ever be higher than he is right now. I hope he is, because I really like the kid. He is super exciting to watch play. I watched that game against Seattle, not to make you cry there, Al House.
Let's not talk about that.
I mean, what a football. I mean, that was the best football game I've watched in the last 5 years, for sure. I mean, unbelievable football game. Every possession, it was like jaw drops to the floor. I mean, on both ends, it was ridiculous football. And Watson is just so exciting to watch. So for his, for everything he's watching football, I hope he played in those first 7 games throughout his career. I would love to see that. I don't know that he can. We'll see what happens with that. But he's my sell high and, yeah, we'll see.
All right. So that's awesome. That was a lot of quarterbacks. So let's move on to the position I hate about some running backs, because I don't like running backs. All right, running backs. Team wide receiver. Hashtag. Peyton Barber. That's a very good one. That makes me happy. Steven, talk about that.
Yes. Well, I mean, I'm looking at him, and I just keep seeing news about Peyton Barber still has a role. Everything points to him being the two down back, the thumper. He's going to get goal line work, and they're going to be in the red zone a lot. He's got a lot of opportunities to score, and that's even on limited touches.
Yeah, see, like, I'm not a Ronald Jones fan. I'll put that out there. And part of the reason is he's a little guy. Is he taking goal line work? I can't imagine he does. And while, what's the team's name? The Buccaneers, that's what they're called, have a lot of very tall, big guys that can catch the ball, sooner or later you're going to have to run the ball in the red zone, or especially on the goal line, and that's not going to be Ronald Jones. It's going to be Peyton Barber. And I liked Peyton Barber at the end of last year. I have him on a couple of squads that I did not drop him on yet because for this exact reason, I felt like he was going to be part of the game still, even though we all thought, well, we always said best landing spot for Saquon would have been Tampa. So we all knew they were taking a running back, but I was a little happy when they took Ronald Jones because that meant my Peyton Barber share still have a little value.
Yep, I was thinking the same thing. I had them all over the
So, I mean, what do you think? A third will get you Peyton Barber nowadays?
It probably would. Yeah, and I would buy him for that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, I like that one, Steven. I'm with you on that. I think I'm not a big fan of Jones. You know, he's obviously got the draft pedigree now, so he's going to be used, but I don't know how much this season and what type of role. I mean, like we said, probably more of a third down passing back role, and Barber's going to get those goal line carries. He is. So it may end up being a season where he has like 500 yards rushing, but like 9 touchdowns or something like that. So, yeah, I'm with you on that.
All right. So on to my running back by low. I think I've been talking about him a little bit, at least I have on Twitter, and I have traded for him in a couple of places already. Alex Collins. At the end of last year, I was not an Alex Collins fan, first of all, because he was crap on Seattle. They cut him, and then he starts doing well on Baltimore, so I'm spiteful. But the Ravens didn't draft anybody. They didn't sign anybody in free agency. Now, I know everyone's thinking, well, they still have Kenneth Dixon on the team. I mean, do they? But the guy's gotten suspended. He's been injured. For some reason, the team's still stuck with him, which is the only reason I'm like, all right, maybe Alex Collins doesn't have the job completely locked up. But I saw a Twitter poll today that was Alex Collins or the 110. And it was very much in favor of the 110. So if you're telling me I can send the 112 and have an almost 50-50 chance to get Alex Collins, I would do that in a heartbeat. We've seen Alex Collins on the field. He looked like a good running back. And even if he has, I mean, he's not going to get, I wouldn't call him a workhorse. I'll throw that out there. You know, the Ravens throw to the running back a lot, and which means they'll have a running back there that will catch the ball. I think Buck Allen still is in the league, right?
He is.
There you go. So I don't think Alex Collins is going to be a top 10 running back. I think that's unrealistic. But at what you have to pay to get him, if you can send I think I recently got him for the 203-ish. I mean, that was in a home league, so maybe that's not really the best words that mean what you guys should expect. But still, if you can throw a late first, early second for a guy that's going to be a steady high-end running back too, I would do that any day and all day.
Well, let me ask a quick question.
Okay.
Would you take Lamar Miller or Collins?
Ooh, I think I would take Collins just because I think he'll have a job this whole year. Lamar Miller is... I like Lamar Miller. He is getting way too much hate these days. But I do think if Foreman works his way back to being at least close to what he was off that Achilles injury, he will start getting work off of Miller. And then hopefully Miller goes to another team next year, which I believe he's very cuttable money-wise at the end of this year. But mm-hmm. I would still take Collins right now.
Okay.
Does that mean you take Miller?
No, that doesn't change how I feel about it. I'm just curious how you felt, whether you would go Miller or Collins. I thought they were pretty close in value.
Yeah, their value, I still think Collins is a little more. And again, I think it's just because of his situation right now as opposed to a greater dynasty outlook. But I think Collins can be bought cheap and people still sort of. I was in a deal with someone about something that didn't go through. Again, I was trying to buy Lev Bell from someone really cheap. And we were talking about Collins and he was just like, nah, I was just going to take Collins because I have Dixon on my team already. I was just. I mean. Hope that guy doesn't listen. Otherwise, it feels like I'm talking bad about him. I'm not talking bad about you. But no, to me, Collins is a running back. He is a very usable running back too, in my mind. And I think some people still don't think he is. And I didn't before the draft, but after the Ravens didn't draft anybody, I am all aboard the Collins train. That's how you speak English. All right, Brian, tell me about the guy you made me fall in love with.
All right, I gotta stop before I go into that and talk about Mr. Collins here for just a second.
Okay.
So this is another one where you were doing real well. I was with you. I was with you. I was like, yeah, Collins, yeah. And then you threw the price tag out. Sir, you are certifiably crazy if you would move a first round pick for Alex Collins in a super flex league.
I'm saying if the 112 gets it done for me, I would probably do it right now.
Would you really, Russ?
I
I'm shocked at that. And here's why. And that's first of all,
see, okay, that's not buying low. All right, that's me being confident in my abilities to pretend I know what I'm talking about. But if we're, like I said in the first place, I bought him for the 2-3. I think the 2-3 is a perfect price to send for a guy who will at least get you this year's production.
And he will probably this year. I don't disagree with that. You're absolutely right. The Ravens did not draft a running back. I'm not worried about Kenneth Dixon. I think that Collins is the guy in that backfield. I just can't do it because of the guys that we're talking about with those picks. I mean, when you're talking about early second round picks in a super flex league, you're talking about guys like Christian Kirk,
No, he's gone
Courtland
before 2-3. But would you t Courtland Sutton?
Sutton. I would
Really, I
take
would say
Sutton.
Collins over Courtland Sutton.
Would you really?
I
Wow.
would.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised. This is the perfect example, and we talk about this almost every week on the show about how different dynasty owners value players differently. And I think this is a perfect example of that. And there's nothing wrong with anyone's opinion on where they value players. These types of situations provide opportunities for owners to get together and make deals. I'm not as high on Collins as you are, clearly. I do like him. I think he's a good player. But this would present an opportunity if we were in, if you had him in CA2, this would present an opportunity for you and I to deal because if I owned Collins and you wanted him, I would absolutely sell him for those prices. So that's the great thing about this game is everybody values players differently and it does create opportunities to make deals. So
So
that's an
apparently my buy
interesting
low
note.
is still too
No,
high. So
no, no,
buy
no, no. Hey,
mid
I
second,
didn't.
low second.
I didn't
Look, no,
say
you told me I was wrong and I
that.
accepted it. It's fine. I'm learning.
You're
That's what
not,
this is. This is a
see,
learning experience.
but you're never wrong. I've learned that. You're
Ooh.
never wrong.
You're a good
or at least,
co-host.
hey, see? I know what I'm doing here. All right, so let's move on.
Aaron Jones.
Yes, so Aaron Jones is my buy low. And you're probably going to say I'm certifiably nuts with where I'm going to go
Oh
here.
no, you've ruined me on him.
So I love Aaron Jones. I am a huge Aaron Jones fan. I've been on this guy for the last year. I watched his tape out of UTEP and fell in love with him as far as his playing attributes go. I think he showed it last year in the opportunities that he had. I think a lot of people kind of gravitate towards Williams because of what happened kind of at the end of the season. But I am a big Aaron Jones fan, and to be bold, I think that his upside is a top 24 overall pick in startups. I really do. I
Wow.
don't, I mean,
Cooking with
things,
fire right
hey,
here.
things have to go right, obviously. But I can see this guy getting that job
And just absolutely running away with it. And in that offense, we've seen running backs in that offense do it before, especially running backs that can catch the ball. And I think he can do that. Now, Williams can do it too. And Montgomery can do it too. And he's still around. So there is a little bit of a question as far as usage goes, but I think this guy by midseason this year is going to show that he is absolutely the best back in that backfield. And once he does, I think he's going to show that he's worth a lot more than he's going for right now in leagues.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, you've ruined me on him. Steven, what do you think about Aaron Jones?
Well, you mentioned Montgomery in the backfield, and I don't even know if he's playing in the backfield at this point. Is he?
That's a good point.
There was the very early coach speak, like shortly after the end of last year, where McCarthy, whatever his name is, was like, yeah, we're going to move Ty back to the wide receiver room or something like that. And then nothing ever came of it after that. So as of now, he's still on the running back, right?
I think he is, but, you know, we'll just have to see again in camp and whatnot. Yeah, he is still a Packer, so we'll see where he ends up lining up on the field. But yeah, it wouldn't bother me at all if he moved back to the wide receiver position. He can be as effective there as he was coming out of the backfield. So
yeah.
All right, so
Aaron Jones, that's tough though. I mean, it's like I'm split on him and Williams, honestly.
See, with Aaron Jones, is you run into the problem with people that, like him or Jonnu Smith, where people know that there's a chance that they can be the guy there, and they're afraid to sell low. Like, because there's a couple of people you could be like, hey, why don't you throw me that guy from the Green Bay backfield? And they'd be like, yeah, who knows what's going on there? Sure, I'll throw him in. And then there's other people that are like, hey, I'll give you the 110 for Aaron Jones. No, man, that dude could be worth the 101 next year.
Right.
Like, there's, you know, you have to find out how crazy the people are who own him, because if Brian owns him, you know, you're not getting him cheap.
Well, and it seems like too that, I mean, that's a great point. And it seems like whichever Packers running back is owned, you know, if you're trying to acquire that back, that owner thinks that back is the one that's going to get that job. You know, so if you're trying to acquire Jones in leagues, you know, the guys that own him typically think he's going to be the guy. And if you're trying to get Williams, same thing. Those guys that own him think he's going to be the guy. So one faction of owners is going to be really happy by about midseason, I think. And the other, not so much. So,
I mean, hell, what if they just decide all of a sudden to go running back by committee?
Stop. Don't do it to me.
Those ugly words. All right. So, now to a bunch of people that don't have to worry about running back by committee, our sell highs. Nice segue. I'm getting good at this. Still getting good. Steven, sell high. Who you got? Jerick McKinnon.
I can't even remember. Oh, yes. Yes, Jet. Dump his ass.
That might be the greatest analysis we've ever had on the show.
I mean,
you're not invited back anymore.
Yeah.
I rescind Brian's invitation.
I don't know. I'm not high on him. I don't think he's anything but a scat back. And here we are. We got somebody banging the table over a running back again. And what the hell? What happened with Joe Williams, huh? I thought Matt Breida was looking okay last season.
Well, to be fair, it's not like Jet will be a workhorse. He's not built that way. I don't think. Like, see, that's the problem with the echo chamber of Twitter, where all of a sudden the 49ers don't draft another guy, or even before that, when they first sign him to a decent amount of money, you have 3/4 of the people saying, oh man, every down back, he's worth whatever, he's worth whatever, he's so awesome. And then you have other people saying, oh, they're going to draft someone else. Oh, there's no way he can handle that. He's going to get hurt in 2 games. But I mean, the reality is somewhere in the middle, where someone else, he's not going to, you know, take up 90% of the carries. It's physically impossible. I mean,
I think he's Deion Lewis.
I'd be okay with that. I mean,
yeah,
it's not terrible,
he's more athletic than Lewis is, and he's hopefully better put together than Lewis's. I mean, a total of what Lewis usually gets, like 18 touches between runs and receptions a game. If you give that to Jerick McKinnon, I think he does better than he's done so far, and probably better than a decent amount of running backs in the league.
I agree with that, but here's the thing. That's why you sell his butt high, because he's literally going, like, we've had conversations in Trade Addicts chats about him being a top five running back, and that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
I'm glad I missed that one, because I love Jet, and that's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. I mean, I just can't. Top five running back for McKinnon. I mean, he couldn't beat out, like, who was the, I mean, is was it like Asiata or something? Like,
leave the purple sloth out of this.
Well, I mean, for crying out loud. Murray. I mean, I just can't. Oh my gosh, I just can't. I mean, and look, he had a great season last year. I get it.
When Murray got healthy, they were giving him the ball more.
They were, and here's the other thing. I don't think Jet even touches the ball if Dalvin Cook doesn't go down.
Well, obviously, but to say he's not better than Dalvin Cook is not saying a bad thing about somebody.
But you're talking about him in the same sentence as Deion Lewis, who, okay, so Jet is around he's an early fifth round startup pick right now. He's an early fifth round startup pick. He's going like right around 50-ish in startups. Deion Lewis, hang on, I got to scroll a little bit here. Lewis is going 30 spots behind him. You think he's that much better, even in Shanahan's offense? See, I'd rather have Lewis all day over Jet for the price that you have to pay to get him. I like McKinnon. Don't get me wrong. I think he's going to be solid. I think he has it. It's possible that he can turn into what everybody thinks Tevin Coleman is going to be, because Coleman was in that offense, too, in Atlanta before Shanny left. You know, now he's a head coach out in San Francisco. McKinnon is a similar back. He's not built as well as Coleman as far as sturdiness, but he's electric. He's an electric back. He can catch the ball, all of that stuff. I think he's very valuable. Don't get me wrong here, Outhouse. I'm just saying, for the price that you have to pay for him, I'd rather have Lewis.
I wouldn't.
I mean, we're talking two and a half rounds of value. Guys around McKinnon. Okay, if you're drafting McKinnon, you're passing on people like the top tight end.
Done. Easy. McKinnon.
In a tight end premium league.
Easy. McKinnon.
Wow. Dude. I mean, that to me is just
mind-blowing.
I'm in three Trade Addicts leagues. The best tight end on any of my rosters is Kyle Rudolph. I like Rudolph too, but I'm just saying that's the most expensive tight end I have.
He's going a half a round behind Doug Baldwin.
All right, well, you're pulling on my heartstrings on that one.
He's going ahead of Sammy Watkins. McKinnon over Sammy freaking Watson?
I traded Jet for Watkins in Trade Addicts.
That did happen.
I mean, that is like, I would vote for Watkins. And look, and I understand. I mean, even Watkins has been bad, man. He hasn't even put up 500 yards receiving in like 4 years, and I'd still want him more than McKinnon. That's what I'm saying. I just don't think the price. It's not that I don't like Jet. I like him as a player. He's exciting. He has the potential to do everything that you think he's going to do. Absolutely. I don't disagree with that. But like, would you take him over Royce Freeman? Because Royce Freeman, you can't get Jet McKinnon for the one whatever Royce Freeman's going for. He's being drafted in startups 2.5 rounds behind him.
Oy. Yeah.
He's ahead of Tevin Coleman by a round. Marvin Jones by a round. That's what I'm saying. The price for me is the issue.
Are you just going to list every player I'm in love with? Is that what you're doing to me right now?
I know you too well.
You clearly. All right. And we're taking too long. All right.
I think we should shoot for a 3.5 hour episode.
Are you kidding? This is definitely getting split into two episodes because it's been an hour already. My sell high, which we don't need to talk about long because whatever. Alvin Kamara. He's worth so much. And there's just everyone is so in love with this dude that, I mean, you could just get a ransom for him. He's getting talked about in the same valuation of, like, Zeke. And to me, that's crazy. Because he had a historic year. anhistoric, ahistoric. I could never remember that one. A very, very, very good year. And, yeah, the efficiency, I don't think he could do it again. I think they're going to, the offense as a whole is going to pass more. And, again, we're going back away from the, well, if he does it less, he could be more efficient, or if he gets more runs, then he doesn't need to be as efficient.
Yeah, so as far as Kamara goes, I'm kind of with you on that one, too. I like Kamara a lot. He was awesome last year. He won me two leagues last year. So thank you, Alvin. Very, very appreciative. But I'm with you. I think he's a sell high. I don't think he should be talked about in the same realm as some of these other backs that we like, you know, Lev and DJ and Zeke. And, you know, I don't see him as an every down workhorse back. Now, I guess you don't have to be that to be awesome in the league anymore. And he proved it last year. I just can't see him improving on what he did. I really can't.
Right. That's what the problem is with having a historic first season, is that means you have to keep doing it.
And right. And people will talk about DJ like that, too, as far as the historic seasons go. But DJ's built a lot differently than Alvin Kamara. I mean, DJ's a thick workhorse. I mean, he's more of a traditional workhorse back, whereas Kamara more fits that. You know, now it's really confusing, though, because he's super good at running up the middle. And for a little guy, he shouldn't be, you know, he should be out on the edges running around. So that's a little confusing. And again, I love the guy. I really do. I'm just not paying the prices that you have to pay to get him right now. And if I own him, I'm selling him everywhere.
All right. So wait, because I know Brian and I talked about this on the episode with Rod when we talked about Ingram's suspension. Steven, do you think Ingram do you think Kamara should have bell cow carry percentages while Ingram is out? Or would you be worried about him carrying the ball that much?
I wouldn't want him carrying that much. I think they're going to use somebody else like Jonathan Williams. Yeah. Honestly, I wouldn't. I mean, if I were New Orleans, I wouldn't want to be using him in any bell cow situation.
That was exactly my point, like, that I wouldn't want that to happen. I would be afraid if they're like, no, we're going to give him the rock the whole game. That moment. I would sell high. The second I read Sean Payton's quote that we're going to use him to the best of our whatever coach speak comes out of his mouth, like, that would be the moment I would sell him for whatever the hell I can get, because they are going to break him. So that's why I'm selling Kamara high, because he's awesome. That's why. And you can get so much for him. He's more than the 102 at this point, right? And this year is a little different because of Saquon, but if this were any other year, let's say this was last year, like, he's worth more than Corey Davis would have been back then, because he was my 101 last year. So, I mean, he's worth more than the 101 on a normal year when there's not the player of the generation up for draft. So if you can get multiple firsts for him, especially if one of them's high, I would sell in a – I keep saying in a heartbeat because I can't think of anything else to say. But I would sell that in a heartbeat. Brian, I just saw who you put on the show sheet.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your boy.
Okay, so a couple things. First of all, I did consider putting Saquon Barkley here, and then I thought again, and then I decided not to, because I could never do that, even though I could definitely make an argument for that and understand it. So everybody heard that, right? Because that's the last time you're going to hear it. And Steve, we're going to have a talk here, because I believe in your Twitter profile you have something about being a Saquon Barkley hater. So that invitation may be rescinded. But anyways, we'll get into that at a different date and time. But my guy here for sell high is Lev Bell. In Outhouse, we talked about Lev extensively last week. And I think, you know, for me, it's just I can't see a scenario where Le'Veon Bell's value goes up from this point. You know, he if he stays in Pittsburgh, you know, then it's probably similar to what it is right now, right? He'll be 20. I think he's 26 this year. This is his 26-year-old season. Mm-hmm. So next year, now he's a year older with another 370 touches or so, because that's how this thing goes in Pittsburgh. If he isn't in Pittsburgh, then I definitely think his value takes a hit. I can't see any scenario where he would go to, you know, outside of possibly somewhere like San Francisco, and they just paid Jerick McKinnon to be, you know, one of the top four or five highest paid running backs in the game. So I can't see him going there, especially at the money that he wants. So for me, Lev Bell is an awesome player. He's one of the best running backs, maybe the best running back in the game overall. But that's, again, exactly why he's my sell high. He's 26. He's a stud. I think you can get ransom for him right now. So go out and sell the guy while he still has this value, because I don't think it's ever going to be higher than it is now.
Everything that you just said, I said to our chef over here to try and get me to sell Lev Bell really cheap, and it did not work. Just put
he said a
ransom.
Yeah, you know what? Let's talk about ransoms. You know, no, you should sell them to me for cheap.
No.
Yeah, that was like a McDonald's value menu order.
That's best discussion ever. Let's discuss ransoms. No.
All right, I had nothing. I just give me Le'Veon Bell.
That's kind of my approach with Keenan Allen in Trade Addicts too, which you
that's what it has come down to.
We're gonna get to. But yeah, so that's kind of where we are with those negotiations as well.
All right, so that is our talk about buying and selling running backs. And
yeah,
it's been an hour, so we're probably going to cut this in half. But we're going to keep talking on this show. Steven, I assume you're cool hanging on for like another hour to finish this?
Oh, I guess I can handle it. I'm usually in bed by now, but...
I mean, you can, by all accounts, if you want to. And we could just record next week with somebody else because you're not man enough to hang around.
I'll hang around for the rest of the buy lows and sell highs.
Okay. So now we are on to our trading section. We have two Trade Addicts 2 trades and one Trade Addicts 3 trades. These are all yours and mine. That's exciting.
Yes, it is.
All right. So Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team, super flex, PPR, tight end premium. Our first trade, this was actually a first offer to me, and I stared at it like I was missing something. And just accepted. Odell Beckham Jr. and Delanie Walker for Keenan Allen and Kyle Rudolph. What do you think about this trade, Brian, besides the fact that you're angry I traded Keenan Allen to someone who wasn't you?
That is a fact. I have been after Keenan Allen in this league.
Since I drafted
pretty
him.
Much since you acquired him, yes. So, yes, that's disappointing. However... So this deal is, holy smokes, I mean, it's a big deal. I like it. So I love Keenan Allen. I've made that very clear over the course of the pod and in our Trade Addicts leagues. Having said that, I would lean OBJ side here. And for me, it's not that I don't think that Keenan Allen can produce in the same level realm that OBJ will produce in. I think a lot of the things we were talking about with Evan Ingram, you know, and the competition for targets and you know, that offense changing now with Saquon Barkley in there as well in New York. I think a lot of that applies to Beckham too. I think there's a chance that, you know, he doesn't get 95 catches a year over the next several. I still think he's going to get in the 80s. You know, I don't think it's going to be so significant that OBJ's value is going to take a massive hit. And for me, that's what this one comes down to, is the value. You know, even if we say those things about Odell Beckham, I mean, he's a clear top three startup pick in almost every startup draft that there is. So, you know, I don't particularly love Beckham. You know, I've, you know, some of the off the field stuff with the pizza and whatever the white substance was and all that stuff. I mean, I don't know what's going on there, and, you know, kicking nets and marrying them and, you know, punching walls and all that stuff. I mean, I don't really know about that stuff. And some of that does tend to worry me slightly. Having said that, this guy's unbelievable on the football field. You know, I mean, you can pretty much pencil Beckham in for 1,310 every single season. So to have a guy, you know, and unless he gets in trouble off the field, I think, you know, I think that 1310 is pretty much just, you can chalk that one in and go to sleep at night. You know, he had the injury last year, the ankle injury. I'm not overly concerned about that either. It sounds like he's going to be cleared soon. If he hasn't already been, I think he still hasn't been fully cleared, but he was out, saw some videos of him running around and cutting, and he looks fine to me. And, I mean, I'm not an expert or anything, but he looks good. And I think, you know, he'll bounce back from that injury. And if we're talking about injuries, I guess that's the one thing that's been disappointing about Keenan Allen. Now, last year he was healthy all year and he showed what he could do and he put up big numbers. And he's capable of that, but you know, he has struggled with injuries in the past. Phillip Rivers is better than Eli Manning. That is one thing that I can definitely say here. I at this point in their careers, from a fantasy perspective, I would rather have Phillip Rivers throwing my wide receiver one the ball.
That's definitely not a hot take.
Then yeah, right, exactly. Than Eli Manning. But having said that, I mean, Rivers is getting old too. They all came out. He and Eli and Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah, they all came out in the same draft, so they're all right around the same age. So how many years do those guys really have left? We don't know. And future quarterback is probably going to play into the future careers of these guys too. And unfortunately, I don't think either one of them has their quarterback of the future on the roster. New York might, if you believe in Kyle LaLetta, but you know, so there's a lot of question marks down the road. But right now where the value stands, I mean, again, Beckham is a top three startup pick. If you decided you wanted to flip him, even if Beckham's not your guy, I think you have to take him in this deal just because of the value.
Yeah.
Because the guys that you would be able to flip him for are, again, just, you know, the value is on the Beckham side for me. And the tight ends don't even really play into it. And I could make an argument that the tight end is, as far as this season goes, I can make an argument that and I like both these guys, but I can make an argument that Walker's every bit as valuable, if not more so, than Kyle Rudolph. This year.
Argument. Oh, remember when I said that Kyle Rudolph was the best tight end I had on my teams in the Trade Addicts League? I don't have Kyle Rudolph anymore, so I lied.
But you also have a tight end in Walker who's been the tight end 8, 3, 5, and 4 over the last
hopefully
4 years.
Hopefully, John, you doesn't push that too quickly because he's my tight end in 1 and 2.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So I stared at this when this came into my inbox. I love Keenan Allen. I have to say now, Keenan Allen in all three of the Trade Addicts leagues that I'm in, which is probably one of the only reasons I was okay selling him. And also because Odell is my 101. Hashtag always Odell when it comes to startups. He is the 101 to me still. I struggled a little with giving up Rudolph because I think he's good in the first place, and getting Kirk Cousins, who likes throwing to the tight ends, clearly makes it better. But again, I just don't value tight ends that much. Getting Odell Beckham Jr., not even giving up a tight end, I just downgraded a bit. And in your eyes, that's not even really downgrading. Because if I have to find another tight end next year, I could probably do that. Not too difficultly. Difficultly?
Right.
Words. It's late. So yeah, no, this, to me, to say it was easy is not fair to the offer. It was a great offer that he wanted to get it done because the dude is a very big Keenan believer, which he's right to do because Keenan is awesome. And if you say Keenan is injury prone, you should slap yourself in the face because a torn ACL has nothing to do with a punctured kidney. So get off of that. The freak accidents happen. I mean, they have nothing to do with each other. So no, Keenan is not injury prone. Keenan is awesome. And it doesn't, he doesn't need to be volume dependent. It's just the fact that he can be. So I'm a huge, huge Keenan Allen fan, but it's Odell Beckham. I don't know if any other wide receiver would have made me get on, well, maybe Nuke as well. Those are the two guys that would have made me come off of Keenan. And
yeah, Mike Evans never got it done because we had conversations about that and we could never make it work.
Because again, I realized that you should be paying up from Keenan to get to Mike Evans. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to do it. I love Keenan, and I mean, even with, like you said, with Odell, if you told me Keenan Allen was going to outscore Odell Beckham this year, I wouldn't think you were crazy. It's definitely within the realm of possibility of that happening. I just don't think it's possible to steadily happen. I think Odell is a better player. Right. To say it's a better offense in New York is not necessarily true, but they're starting to get better pieces together. And like you said, I prefer Rivers over Eli, but I mean, Odell's not the only thing there anymore like he was 2 years ago. He's going to not get six-man coverage. And that's what he did with six-man coverage. He was the wide receiver 1, 2, or 3. So I think, Yeah, this is the one time an argument for less targets but higher efficiency works, because there's actually a reason behind it. There's other talented players to draw coverage away. But I think we're rambling on when we don't need to be. Before we started recording, Brian checked out Twitter, and this was 79-21 in favor of Odell Beckham Jr., which, you know, isn't surprising, but I do not think that the Keenan side is a loser in this at all, getting two fantastic players.
Well, and the other thing that I'll say about this particular owner, and this is Trade Addicts 2, which we're in together. Both of us are in that one. And this particular owner is one of the absolute best owners to deal with from my perspective. I mean, this guy, when he is talking deals, he's very if he makes you an offer, it's a good offer. Like, he's not going to make you a crap offer. So, you know, it doesn't always get done, but there's always good conversation in these, you know, with this particular owner. And deals do get done more often than not, I think. So, you know, he has guys that he likes, and I respect the heck out of him for going and getting the guys that he likes. So, you know, he's willing to pay for those guys. And that's, you know, again, the different valuation of players is what creates those opportunities. And this is a good deal. And I think he's happy with it, which is the most important thing. You guys are both walking away from this happy. So, so good for you. Good deal.
At FF Obscene, by the way, is,
yes.
His name is Aaron. I guess he might not be upset if I threw that out there. If he does, too late. But very good dude, very good follow. He is very good at trading, so I'm glad he ended up in our league, and I'm glad he gave me Odell Beckham.
And he knows things about stuff that I can't even imagine knowing things about, yeah. So don't ask him about that, but it's good stuff.
Yeah, we're going to move on before, you know, we get in trouble. Let's go to Trade Addicts 3, because that's what's on the show sheet. Josh Rosen, Allen Robinson, Tevin Coleman, and 2 2019 thirds for David Johnson and Kenny Golladay. Now, this was 55-45 in favor of the David Johnson side on Twitter when we started recording. It hasn't been 24 hours yet. This is another me trade, and before I sent it out, I asked every other Trade Addicts league besides, you know, clearly I'm not going to put it in the Trade Addicts 3 chat. And it was split 55-45. You had the people saying, I'll take the side with the quarterback. And then you had the people saying, I'll take the side with the stud running back. You gave a big sigh. Which side do you side with?
Well, so for me, this one is super.
Oh yeah. You
tough.
Love Rosen.
I love
Rosen and A-Rob.
Four out of the
Tevin
five of these
David.
Pieces.
You just don't love Golladay.
And David Johnson. Yeah, well, and I mean, I like Golladay. I'm not as high on him as I am on
you
these other guys,
like,
though.
Like,
but these, yeah, correct. So these four guys are like four of my favorite players to own. So, I believe I voted for. So first of all, let me say this: I think this is a very, very fair trade. I think I voted for the Robinson Coleman Rosen side. But I don't think there's a wrong side in this deal. Like, I totally think that this is one that makes sense. I think it's a fair deal. I love DJ. I love DJ. And I think DJ, I don't want to say that he's undervalued right now because he's still a top 10 startup pick. But, I mean, this dude, I mean, he could very well be the top running back.
Well, that's why I think he again. Can say he's undervalued. He's going as, what, the running back 5, 6?
I think so. I mean, yeah. Four, yeah. 5, 6, somewhere in that range. And it's, yeah, it's absolutely, he's absolutely capable of putting up, you know, top 3 numbers for sure. And very well could be the top. I mean, he literally, you know, not last year, but the previous year put up a historical season. Like, we've not seen that stuff very often in the league. You know, what he did, especially through the air, good grief. I mean, just unbelievable. So, you know, and we've talked about his injury in the past too. You know, this is a wrist. We're not talking about a knee, a leg. I mean, he did have the knee injury at the end of the previous season, but it was just a sprain.
Yeah. He came back fine from
and it wasn't, and he came back fine. He was healthy at the beginning of last year, and then he just fell on his wrist wrong. So, you know, I'm not overly concerned about that whatsoever. And I really like David Johnson. He's one of those guys that, like, for me, he's one of those guys that's easy to root for too. You know, seems like a good guy. Love to watch him play. He just plays real hard, plays a game. I mean, this is cliche, but he plays the game the right way. You know, I mean, he just seems like a good dude, and he's an exciting player. So, you know, I love DJ. You know, the other side, I like all three of the player pieces of this side. You know, Coleman, we've talked about his opportunity potentially next year if he ends up being the guy in Atlanta and they ship Freeman somewhere, or more likely he ends up signing somewhere as a free agent after this season and getting that opportunity to be, you know, the guy somewhere. So, and then Robinson, my Allen Robinson loves documented. I'm not even going to go into it today. Big A-Rob guy. So, and then Josh Rosen, you know, he was my top quarterback in this year's draft. And this, you know, in these leagues, these super flex leagues, you know, those quarterbacks are valuable. They hold a lot of value. So there's a lot of value on that side as well. I definitely think that the best piece of this deal is DJ, hands down. But I think there's enough on the other side that it makes the deal very close. So for me, this is a very fair trade. I sided just because I like all three of the pieces with the Rosen, A-Rob, Tevin, Coleman side, but I could go either way on this one depending on the day.
Yeah, it's funny. This one actually took a few days to put together because we were both so apprehensive about pulling the trigger to the point where we were like arguing over Kenny Golladay in a third, whether we thought those were like, you want another 19 third? Really? Kenny Golladay, really? Like, that's how, like, splitting hairs we were, just because we both wanted this trade and we were both too afraid to do it because it was pretty big boy. I already have Wentz and Goff as my quarterbacks, so Rosen was a pure luxury piece. And my running backs were Gurley and nobody. So now I have Goff, Wentz, Gurley, DJ, Evans, and Keenan, and, you know, trash at tight end because that's what I do. But I've never had such an even team before, and that's really why I did this, because I've never had two stud running backs on a team, because all I do is draft wide receivers. And I wanted to have, like I said before, I'm in 14 leagues. One of them should be different. I feel a little, and that's the problem. I traded this. I drafted this team and had a couple of good running backs, and then I just ended up trading them for wide receivers because it's just, I didn't even realize I was doing it. And then I'm like, let me get this team back to its roots. And that's why I went for David Johnson. And now I have David Johnson and Todd Gurley on one team, and I think that is awesome. And watch them both. Yeah, they're both going to get hurt this year, and I'm never drafting a running back ever. But yeah, this.
No, I. Yeah, I like. I mean, that team sounds like it will definitely contend. So, if I was you, I'd be trading. If you have any picks left, I'd be trading picks for other pieces to try to win the.
Oh man, Trade Addicts, three dudes, pats on the backs all around. The amount of trades that go down in this league.
Yeah, that league's definitely solid, yeah, for sure.
I don't even know if we know what we're talking about, but we're definitely willing to move players. We might not be doing it right, sure, but we're doing it all right. But yeah, no, completely even deal. We both loved doing it. It was one of those fun ones where your heart is like racing before you hit the button to both submit it and to actually accept it. I loved it. But now enough about me. Let's talk about you. Trade Addicts 2, there was a trade of Melvin Gordon for Nick Chubb. Now, I'm going to put it out there. I don't usually go for same position swaps. The whole adage of both teams are supposed to walk out better from a trade, I think, is impossible when you just swap two guys. But if you guys happen to have your different valuations, like you say, makes the trading world go round on players that the other guy owns, I mean, why not, right? I mean, you seem to have this up and down broken relationship with Melvin Gordon because this is his third stint on your team?
I believe so, yeah.
So you traded away Nick Chubb for Melvin Gordon, I believe, right? And
I did.
I think you did the wrong thing. But Twitter disagrees, so we'll just make it a wash, right? Because both Twitter and my opinion are the only things that matter. okay, so here's the thing with this trade. I think, again, I think the valuation is perfect. I've always said that to me, Melvin Gordon is about the 103 in a one quarterback draft. Nick Chubb is my 103. So I have zero problem with this besides the fact that I don't usually do it. But if I had Melvin Gordon on my team and someone offered me Nick Chubb, I would totally do it because, again, the value is the same and I just happen to like him better. You clearly had the exact opposite situation happen to you, so it works perfectly. Do you agree with my line of thinking? Is that what went through your head when this happened?
Well, for me, I think with this deal, you know, I do. I have a weird thing with Melvin Gordon. I get talked out of him by everyone, essentially. the talking heads and all the pods.
Low yards per carry.
I mean, yeah, I mean the YPC is not great, you know, but he does have volume. And again, I mean I understand the arguments against him. Having said that, I mean he's been the running back 7 and the running back 5 the last 2 years. I mean if Nick Chubb ever is a top 5 running back, I think I'd be a pretty happy guy. Melvin Gordon's done it twice in the first 3 years of his career. So for me, and the way that this team is shaping up too, I think that's the other thing. I think Nick Chubb is likely to own the Cleveland backfield sooner than later. I don't know this year, but I would think probably next year, or at the very worst case scenario, maybe the year after that, you know, that Chubb is, I mean, I believe in the talent. I think he's a talented yep. player. Before the knee injury, I think he was one of the most talented players I've seen at the running back position. After the injury, not as much, but still be darn good. And I think we've even talked about that before. So I like Chubb. I like Nick Chubb a lot. I believe in his talent. I just like Gordon. I like Gordon more than most people do. Are they going to take away 5 carries a game? Maybe. So that's 15 yards with his horrible yards per carry, right? So am I really? So we're talking. So I mean, really? I mean, seriously though. I mean, that's an argument that is made. That's an argument that's made against Melvin Gordon all the time, right? And so if you have a guy come in and take 5 to 7 carries away, we're talking 15 to 20 yards. That's 1.5 fantasy points. So all he's got to do is catch one more ball game. And he's the same back he's been the last couple of years, and that's a borderline top 5 back and a solid RB1.
Yeah.
So that's why I did the deal. He's 25. He's not ancient, you know. And I think he's probably got another couple of years in him. You know, we talked. Here's the other thing. And I hated when Hunter Henry got hurt. Hated it. But I think it helps Gordon. Because I think he will catch passes out of the backfield. I mean, that's a big part of the game there as well. And what has saved him, thank goodness, because of the, you know, along with the volume, the poor yards per carry, you know, catching those passes, you know, I mean, that insulates that some. And I think that he's going to have that opportunity again this year for sure. And then, you know, and we'll see what happens. I don't know if the way that this thing has gone for me, I mean, we drafted this league. When did we start that draft? Like February,
the end
March,
of February, I think.
Okay. So, and he's been on my team 3 times. I mean, I didn't have him originally.
I sold him to you.
Yeah, you sold him to me, and then I shipped him out. Then I got him back. Then I shipped him out again, in a deal for Kareem Hunt. And then I got him back again today for Chubb. So it's, you know, who knows? He may not be on my team at the start of the season. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I was okay making this deal because of the makeup of my team and because I believe in Melvin Gordon a little bit more, I think, than the consensus does. So that's why I did the deal. But again, I can understand why, you know, why people would take the other side of this too. I like Nick Chubb a lot and I believe in his talent. This deal just made sense for me. So that's why I did it. And again, this is another one of those ones. The Twitter poll is a little more slanted than I think either of the owners felt about the deal. I know he was the owner that I made this deal with was very happy with the deal and I was fine with it as well. So another good trade.
Yeah, no, again, like even what I said, the valuation to me is spot on. So it's personal preference and you got the guy you preferred. So good for you.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, man, I am beat. So we're going to stop talking now. So that was fun. That was actually awesome. And I'm glad it ran as long as it did because it was a lot of fun to talk about. But I need to go to bed, man. So all of that stuff I normally say, just pretend I'm saying it now. And yeah, I'll see you later. I almost called you. I don't even know what the hell I almost said. See you later, Brian.
See you later, outhouse.
I'm so...
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod and follow our hosts at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Haar FF. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review. Have a nice day, and we will see you next time on the Trade Addicts Podcast.